to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. We'll read that entire psalm together and consider its wonderful message of God, our fortress, our refuge in times of trouble. Psalm 46, this is God's holy word. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. We'll end our reading of Psalm 46 there. Well, imagine with me that your beloved country is in the midst of a social, political, and religious crisis. Your friends and your neighbors are dropping dead around you from an outbreak of the bubonic plague. You've opened up your home as a hospital for the sick, and you're watching your friends die around you daily. And then your one-year-old son becomes sick with the plague, just as your wife is pregnant with your next child. And to make matters worse, you yourself are suffering from depression and illnesses of various kinds. What would you do in a time like that? Well, if you're Martin Luther, who experienced all of those things in the year 1527, you turn to Psalm 46. You console yourself in the faithfulness of God, and you write one of the greatest hymns that's ever been written. A mighty fortress is our God. You see, Luther wrote this great hymn during a severe crisis in his life. It was a time during which he felt abandoned by the Lord. The Lord felt distant from him. It was a time during which he needed to be reminded that God is, despite what's going on inside and beyond us, our God is an unmoving refuge, an unmoving fortress when our world seems like it's falling apart. The opening line of Luther's hymn that we just sang, again based on Psalm 46, reads like this: A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amidst the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Perhaps you've had times in your life, maybe whole seasons of your life, that you would call a crisis, a dark time. Troubled time. Maybe you're in the midst of one of those seasons as I speak. And like the psalmist, you feel like the very ground beneath your feet is shaking. Your world has been turned upside down because of suffering and sickness, grief or loss, opposition or temptation. And there's tumult in your soul that you can't ignore. When the foundations of our life seem to be shaking, when we don't know what's going on ahead, that's just when we're called to find our perfect security in the God who has absolute control over our world and over our lives. God is our calming refuge. God is our present help in trouble. God is our sure defender in any and every situation. We're going to comfort our souls tonight with those truths from Psalm 46. You notice, first of all, the psalmist says, God is our calming refuge in the midst of trouble. Psalm 46 begins with this confident confession of faith. The writer, the sons of Korah, begin this way: God is our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in trouble. That's who God is. In the midst of life's difficult and disorienting trials, God is presented to us here in verse 1 as a strong shelter. He's this unconquerable fortress into which we can flee and be absolutely safe. And not only is he that, but he is an ever-present source of strength. He enables us to cope with the trials and the troubles that assail us. You might say, God is the tried and true bomb shelter of the soul. That's how the psalmist describes God here in verse 1. And what's amazing about this confident confession of faith with which the psalm begins is that the psalmist beckons Israel, God's people, to find their refuge in God, not just in the midst of some minor hiccup in life, but in the midst of a cataclysmic crisis. You look at the description here of what's going on in the midst of Jerusalem, in the midst of God's people. We will not fear, verse 2 and 3. We will not fear, though the earth gives way. Though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, this is no minor bump in the psalmist's life. This is a major crisis. The description here is of uncreation, the very foundations of earth itself being upended by what's going on in their life. Biblical scholars don't quite agree on what the historical background is to Psalm 46. It's hard from the psalm itself to pinpoint an exact reference. But many suggest that this psalm recounts the Lord's miraculous victory for his people over and against the Assyrian army that had surrounded Jerusalem during the reign of King Hezekiah. If you want to read more about that, you can turn to Isaiah chapter 37. But this was a severe trial for the people of Israel, and with nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, completely surrounded by the enemy, Hezekiah and the people of Israel humbled themselves before God. They asked that he would defend his people, that he would vindicate his name before the wicked king of Assyria, Sennacherib, who had repeatedly mocked God and his people. And the Lord answered by striking down 185,000 of the soldiers of Assyria, keeping his covenant promises, exalting his name before his enemies. But the point is that the situation that Israel was in, whether it was this account in Isaiah 37 or another situation, the point is that the situation couldn't have been more serious, couldn't have been more bleak. Jerusalem, God's people, where God dwelt, seemed to be teetering on the brink of absolute disaster. We think about our own world, our own lives. They occasionally seem terribly unstable. Our lives sometimes teeter on the brink. Our world, I don't even need to tell you this, our world seems very often to be a very unstable, a very unruly place. Wars and political hostilities continue to rage on. Famines and disease and earthquakes and floods and other natural disasters trouble our world. Corrupt leaders of all kinds seem to get their way while the righteous suffer. We face unsettling trials in our lives that leave us feeling like things are absolutely falling apart. Our security seems to be under attack by this, the lies of Satan, by our own sinful impulses, by the setbacks and the losses in life. And yet, Amidst all of that, the psalmist says, because God is our refuge, because God is our strength, therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear. When everything else that we trusted in because we thought it was stable, when all of that falls apart, God remains stable and unchanging. And so Psalm 46 begs us to calm our souls, not in vain hopes that our crisis is going to end and that we're going to be comfortable again, but to comfort our souls in the reality that God, our true King, is sovereign. He's sovereign over our world. He's sovereign over the little details of our lives. And he promises he's going to turn everything, even the trials we are going through, to our good, to our everlasting salvation. You see, there's an unbreakable link between confessing God as our King, as the ruler of our lives, and the protection, the refuge that we experience as his people. In fact, we see that in the very structure of the Psalms themselves. Many of the Psalms that talk about God as King, God as the one who is in charge, we call them the kingship Psalms. Many of them in the Psalter fit together like interlocking fingers with the Psalms of refuge. You think of the grouping of Psalms, Psalm 45 through 48, which we're in right now, or Psalm 90 through 99. These Psalms, these kingship Psalms and refuge Psalms, fit together like interlocking fingers because it's God as King and ruler alone that can give us real refuge, genuine strength through life's greatest challenges. And so there is indeed nothing to fear in this life because we can constantly, moment by moment, throw the anchor of our lives into the God who made us and the God who rules us by his power. Our security, our comforting refuge is found in belonging to him in body and soul, in life and in death. We see, secondly, not only is God our calming refuge in the midst of a severe crisis, but God is also our present help. He's the God who is near to us. He dwells among us. In verses 4 through 7, we have in this psalm what might be called the second stanza. The second stanza, and we're shown here a little bit more about what's going on here in verses 2 through 3. The psalmist in verses 2 and 3 talks about the earth trembling and the sea roaring and the waters foaming. And in verse 6, we learn that what's being described there is the raging of the nations, the raging of the hostile peoples that want nothing to do with God and his church. Look at verse 6. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The psalmist is describing the wicked nations, the rulers who despise God, setting their hearts in rebellion against God and against his King on the throne. Those who've been made in God's very image are conspiring against their Creator, and they've declared spiritual warfare against his church. And that was a reality that certainly was vividly experienced for the people of Jerusalem when they were surrounded by their Assyrian adversaries. But it's a spiritual warfare that's equally clear to us today. It's a spiritual warfare that is vividly before our eyes every day if you watch even a small bit of the daily news. As we see wicked rulers, hostile neighbors, declaring war against Christ's church. Global hostility against the church of Jesus Christ is certainly on the rise. The statistics are frightening, and I don't need to describe them to you this evening. But look, in contrast to the raging of the nations against God and his people, look at the promise of God concerning the peace and the security of his people. Look at verses 4 and 5 with me. The psalmists declare, there is a river There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. In contrast to the raging of the nations, the psalmist says the city of God, the dwelling of God with his people, is known for its peace. It's known for its blessing. And you notice here, God's presence within Jerusalem, his presence with his church, is characterized by a moving, flowing river. The river amidst the city of God. And of course, rivers always bring to mind a peaceful life. A river is a constant flowing stream that gives nourishment and joy and refreshment and much needed relief. Many of you I know like to relax on vacation by a gently flowing river next to it or on the river itself. It's a very peaceful thing to enjoy. But those of you who have visited modern day Jerusalem, you know that there is no city, there is no river, rather, running through the city. What is the psalmist talking about here? There's no river running through Jerusalem. Jerusalem is found in the Judean hills, not a place that you'd find a river. In fact, the Israelites, during the days of Hezekiah, relied on a spring that was outside the natural boundaries of the city, known as the Gihon Spring. That's why Hezekiah created a tunnel to bring water from the spring into the city during times of siege. But that spring is not the running water, not the river that the psalmists are writing about. And yet they say there is a river. Why? Well, because the inspired writers are calling us to look for God's presence and God's provisions, not with our natural eyes, but with the eyes of faith. By faith, the sons of Korah, and we with them, see that there is a river. God is present with his people in the midst of Jerusalem, and we can trust that he is more than able to take care of our bodies and souls in the midst of trouble. There may not be an actual river running through the city, but with God Almighty dwelling in her midst, the church's cup runs over with blessings. And that blessing, the blessing that we need most in the midst of fear and trouble and doubt, is the powerful help of God's presence among us, particularly through the help and the presence and the intercession of his Son, Jesus Christ. The image of a peaceful river in this psalm recalls the way that God has dwelled with his church in the past and what we look forward to in the future. We can go all the way back to the beginning of Scripture, to Genesis chapter 2, and we read there that out of the Garden of Eden there flowed a river, a reminder of God's blessed dwelling with his people, a reminder of God's blessing in giving his people a place to live in harmony and fellowship and service with him and with others. And though sin disrupted that harmony, that fellowship that God intended for his church, it's God's intention to bring us to a place where we'll enjoy that harmony and that fellowship once again. We go to the very last chapter of the Scriptures, to Revelation 22, and what do we have envisioned there in the new heavens and the new earth? We have the river of the water of life flowing from God's throne through the city of the new heavens and the new earth, the city where God will dwell perfectly with his people again, where we will all together behold his glorious face, where we'll enjoy the peaceful rest from the raging of the nations and the attacks of Satan. But that picture of God's present help, God's blessing among us, isn't just something that we're looking forward to experiencing one day. It's a reality that we already enjoy by faith, and it's a present hope that we have through Jesus Christ in the power of his Holy Spirit. Right now, saints of God, We enjoy the first fruits of that peaceful assurance of life with God. The promise of His protection and His presence among us in the storm. And we find that especially in Jesus Christ, who is the river of life, who is the living water to parch our sin-parched, or to quench our sin-parched souls. We have to see that Christ Himself is the fullness of the reality of God's promise to be with us and to care for us. In John 1, verse 14, we read that He is the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, made His presence among us. In John 2, verse 19, we're told that He is the true temple, the true dwelling place of God with man. In John 4, 14, Jesus says of Himself, "I am the living water, welling up to eternal life for all who drink of Him by faith." He says in John 7, 37, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to Me and drink. Whoever believes in Me," He says, "out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Jesus, above all, is the embodiment of God's presence, His dwelling among His church. And when we believe in Him, when we find our refuge in Him, when we're connected to Him, united to Him by faith, living waters, everlasting life flows from Him to us by the power of His Holy Spirit. We have the help of Jesus' presence right now to deal with the troubles of this life. We don't have to look forward to the new heavens and the new earth to experience a measure of that help and that joyful presence. It doesn't matter that the nations are raging all around us. It doesn't matter that our lives occasionally seem to be falling apart. No nation, no king of earth has the power to overcome our King of Kings. No ruler has the ability to thwart the purposes that Christ has for His church. His presence now and always gives stability to our lives in the midst of the storms. The God of our salvation, Christ our living water, He silences the contenders with the mere utterance of His voice. And He preserves His church in perfect peace. He secures our place in the New Jerusalem where all trouble, all trial has ceased. And so when your life lacks joy now, when your life lacks peace now, ask yourself, with which set of eyes am I looking at my life? Looking with the natural eye may lead to the question, where's the river? Where's the river? Where's God? Where is His presence? Where is His provision? But looking with the eye of faith should cause us to confess, there is a river. God is in the midst of His people. Confident confession of verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our fortress. Finally, very briefly, the last few verses of this psalm were reminded that God is our sure defender. If there's any doubts still in your heart, if there's any lingering doubt that our sovereign God provides for His church amidst turmoil and trouble, Psalm 46 beckons us to refresh our memories about God's care for His people in the past, throughout history. And the psalmist sort of asks this question, verse 8, do you think God won't protect? Do you doubt that God will provide? Verse 8, he says, come, behold the works of the Lord. Look what God's done. How He's brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. The psalmists say, come with me on a little history lesson. And remember how God in the past provided for his people perfectly. Remember back to how God's kingly power defended his people against all her enemies, how God's powerful presence defeated every foe, every force that rose up against her, be it Pharaoh's chariots, Jericho's walls, or Sennacherib's forces. Doesn't matter. God defeated them every single time, in every situation. Our covenant faithful God stepped in like a divine warrior to fight for his people as the Lord of hosts. That's the name that is given to our covenant God here, Yahweh of hosts. In the song we just sang, A Mighty Fortress, God, our Lord, Sabaoth, which means Lord of armies, Lord of heavenly angel armies. God is the one who leads his heavenly armies in procession to protect his people. And he continues to protect us. He continues to preserve us through his warrior king, Jesus Christ, who when he came, drove out demons and calmed the winds and the waves, who defeated Satan and death at his cross and at his tomb. And that warrior king is coming again. He's not coming on a humble donkey, but he's coming as a mighty warrior on a white horse to claim victory in a final spiritual battle that brings all things to an end. And on that day, when all things will be made new, he will be exalted in all the earth. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God in Christ has always been the sure defender of his church, and he always will be. And what should our response be then? Knowing all of this, what should our response be to the trials of life that seem to challenge our stability, that seem to challenge our refuge? The answer here is in verse 10. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. This is a message proclaimed first, I believe, to the enemies of God. First to the enemies of God. God says to the foolish raging nations, stop your foolishness. Stop your fruitless rebellion. You will certainly be defeated unless you come humbly and kiss the Son. But it's also a message to us. Be still. You among my blessed people, be still. Entrust yourself to your God. When your strength is gone and you don't think you can go another step, cast yourself upon your God. Make it your daily pursuit to give up your imaginary control over your lives and trust God. He's the only one who can bring you home. He's the only one that can give you the security that you need and that you desire. Look to Christ. Look to the crucified and risen one who is your Lord of hosts, the Lord of angel armies. It's hard not to tremble in the face of Satan's subtle strength. But lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. And that little word is Christ Jesus, our Lord of hosts. Find your refuge in him alone. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we come to you tonight, and many of us may be going through a crisis. Our hearts may be in turmoil this evening. We look at the world around us, and the apparent instability and disorder frightens us. We wonder about the future of our own lives, the future of our children, our grandchildren. and whether they will be safe. Many of us are suffering with illness and with besetting pain. Some of us are struggling with doubts and insecurities. Some of us with sin and temptation. Some of us with the biting, incessant grief that comes from loss. Lord, you know what we are enduring right now. And your arms are wide open to us, saying, come. Come find your refuge in me, your unchanging God, your mighty fortress. Lord, may we in faith go to you to not try to simply escape the trials of life, which we cannot, to not try to find our security in this world, in this life, and in its trinkets, its passing fancies. But Lord, help us to run to you, our God who is mighty and powerful to save. You have shown us that you are good and faithful. You have shown us that you are powerful and kind, for you have given us your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all righteousness, all that was necessary to bring us to you. And now he stands in heaven, praying for us, interceding for us, ruling the nations. And we look forward to the day when he will return and claim his victory in full, and we will all enter into that glorious city, the new heavens and the new earth, and there will be a river, God dwelling among us in perfect fellowship and harmony. Lord, as we long for that day, as we pray for it, as we hasten it, we pray that you would increase our faith to trust you through the difficult times, that you will preserve us, you will fulfill your will in and through these times, and you will bring us through. Lord, help us to look to you, our fortress, our strength, and our perfect refuge. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.